Charm and mystery of the Deep Sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Scream Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's an EMF meter. Started this going anyway.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
The Green Wolf has been through several incarnations since 1998. Originally started by Lupa as a means of finding homes for her artwork, it has now become an aegis, I think I said that right, did I screw that up? For her and her partner, Taylor Elwood, to offer their respective creative projects under. Lupa is the author of Fang and Fur, Blood and Bone, A Primal Guide to Animal Magic, and Field and a field guide to the other kin. It's going to be the longest title to a book I've heard. It's very long. She is also the co-author of Kink Magic, Sex Magic Beyond Vanilla. God, that sounds great. I can't wait to talk about that. With Taylor Elwood, and a contributor to Magic on the Edge anthology and Manifesting Prosperity, a wealth magic anthology.
Taylor Elwood is the author of Pop Culture Magic, Space-Time Magic, Inner Alchemy, and Media Magic. Taylor is also a co-author of Creating Magical Entities and Kink Magic, Sex Magic Beyond Vanilla from last year. And you know, I want to bring that into 2008.
I want the book.
There we go. The websites are, of course, www.thegreenwolf, all one word, all run together.com. And www.kinkmagic.com. We would like to welcome Taylor Elwood and Lupa to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Now, Taylor and Lupa are going to be switching back and forth on the phone. So we're going to start with you, Taylor. And you guys obviously have a huge body of work that you guys have been working on. And I think I have to say that again. I think Fang and Fur, Blood and Bone, A Primal Guide to Animal Magic, and The Field Guide to the Other Kin. That's the longest book title, I think, in history. I think you guys got it, Taylor.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the benefits of subtitles. It does add exponentially to the length, but it also helps with search engine searches.
Yeah,
that's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really, you know, because that really does help out with the search stuff.
It does.
Put a lot more people on there. There's so much stuff to talk about here, Taylor, and I know we kind of talked a little bit on the break about what we're going to talk about. I don't want to focus this whole thing on kink magic. I don't think any of us want to focus completely on that.
Well, I'd like to start with that.
Is that okay, Taylor? Can we do that?
Yeah, sure. We can always start with something a little kinky and then go on from there.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing, I mean, the title itself, Kink Magic, Sex Magic Beyond Vanilla. Now, vanilla is one of my favorite scents, flavors, whatever it may be. So let's start with that. I mean, what does vanilla tie into all this with?
Well, with kink, in BDSM communities, usually you'll have the sex where there's no kink, no BDSM activities occurring is described as vanilla sex. That's basically where, you know, people aren't involved in any kind of power play. They're not involved with, you know, any kind of bondage or anything like that. It's just, you know, straight up sex. There's nothing else added to it. So when we talk about vanilla, that's where that comes into play.
In this case, vanilla just kind of means like, regular, straight up, no big deal, nothing really too crazy here. It's not really an exciting term, then.
No, it's not really an exciting term. It's basically just people, making out for a while and then getting down to sex without anything else involved in it.
So this book though goes beyond the vanilla then. That's what the whole
idea. That's right. That would be the idea.
Okay. Now, I want we got to somewhat kind of keep this cool. So
I'm going to reiterate, I want the book.
I'll just tell you right now, you can get the you can always order the book on our site or mm-hmm. on Amazon or through other places. So
definitely check that out. I'm just going to ask straight up. I mean, we're trying this beyond the vanilla. Can we get some pointers for this?
Wait. Let's,
no, come on. I want to get to the meat of it.
I know. But let's deconstruct it just really, really quick. Okay, we know the vanilla thing, right? We talked about that.
Why are you teasing me?
Now we also have to add sex magic.
He doesn't want it to be a vanilla interview.
Man. Slap my hand.
Let's add sex magic into vanilla.
Okay, all right.
What then would be vanilla sex magic, and why then would there be some other extreme of that, or you could take it to the extreme.
Yeah.
So what then would be sex magic that is vanilla?
Okay, well, sex magic that is vanilla usually is like your standard tantric your tantric sex magic where, you know, people again are having sex, but what they're doing is they're using the sex to raise energy and then direct that energy towards specific goals. But they're not using anything that comes out of BDSM or kink. They're pretty much focused on just the actual sexual interaction itself.
Okay.
And to kind of contrast that, when we apply kink or BDSM, it's a case of, for instance, being able to focus on the use of pain as a way of directing a person's attention, or being able to use, altered states of consciousness that are created when a person goes into subspace or something like that.
Okay. So you mentioned pain is one thing, and then altered states of consciousness. I mean that's kind of wide open right there. There's a lot of different, altered states of consciousness, so to say.
Well, when it comes to kink, usually when a person goes into subspace, they're going into an altered state of consciousness, and this is usually induced through applications of pain. For instance, you know, using a flogger on somebody, or, you know, sometimes tying that person up and applying different types of sensations to the person. But the entire idea is being able to stimulate that person's senses and doing it in a sensual / sexual context.
Okay.
And the difference there between, you know, and other types of altered states of consciousness, like, for instance, meditation, is okay. With meditation, you're not really relying on somebody else to do that to you, for instance, and you're not using the senses as much. Whereas with BDSM, it's actually focusing on sensory overstimulation to create that altered state of consciousness.
You know, this is actually really interesting because, you're never going to believe, Doug, how I could work this into a conversation, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. You know, I started hitting the weights again this week, right?
Oh, great.
No, and I'm not saying what you're going to be. I'm hitting the weights
altered
again.
Altered state of consciousness.
But no, wait, because there is pain involved with that.
Yes, there is.
And I've been complaining about it since, like, last Tuesday.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God, I'm feeling better now.
Yes,
but
you tried to lift your arms off to put that chip in your mouth.
And it just killed me. I know.
Awful. I know.
You know, but no, I mean, what I'm saying, Taylor, is I've noticed. I mean, this is not nearly in any way a sexual or, you know, context at all. But I find myself, and this is from past experience of lifting weights also, that, you know, once I start really getting into some reps and start really pushing hard, and I want to push myself, I find myself kind of like going somewhere else for a couple of minutes also, because sometimes the pain is so bad, like it really hurts bad. That, you know, I don't want to deal with it. It really sucks. So sometimes I feel myself drifting away until I finish those reps, and then I stop, catch my breath, and then I'm kind of back down to. Is that kind of where we're going with this?
Well, I wasn't sure, Taylor. I wasn't sure that BDSM in general, whether sex magic is attached to it or not, was about the pain itself. I thought it was about the control.
It's not always about the pain. Pain's just one example that I'm using. Control's another aspect. You know, somebody being turned into a sex object, for instance, or being turned into an object where that person basically ends up holding a tray for somebody and taking glasses all night and not getting paid or anything, but getting delight out of that. Or somebody being told, for instance, to dress up in a maid's outfit and go and clean the house and be a sissy maid. That would be other examples. I use pain as the most obvious example, and it's one of those things that people can relate to, as the example with the weightlifting, you know, that, well, if I'm lifting weights and getting reps, sometimes that puts me into an altered state of mind. That's an easy way to kind of relate that to people who might not be as familiar with some of the aspects.
So I'm on.
I'm familiar with magic and magical rituals to an extent, not very much, but but I understand a little bit and the theory. What I don't understand though, Taylor, is the when you take sex, the act of sex, which obviously is a very powerful thing, extremely powerful. I know this to be true. but
thank you for pointing that out, Doug.
You take.
I think we all do, Doug.
You do too, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll talk later.
Okay.
I'll talk to myself.
You've got
this powerful
guy. Go ahead, just go, Doug. Talk.
Can't now. That was
see Taylor
funny.
Even laughed.
I'll
that
talk
one.
To myself. That's
just,
pretty
just
cool.
Come on.
All right. Okay, so you take this beautiful thing between a couple of people, and you use it somehow to achieve a goal other than stimulation and gratification.
Yeah,
and this goal then would be, you know, a magical goal. What kinds of magical goals can you do through either any flavor of sex magic?
Well, a good example would be for me was back when I was getting ready to move to Portland. I was living up in Seattle last year, and we had decided to move. And one of the things that we did is we decided to use some sex magic to help us make that move very, basically to help us get jobs and, you know, succeed with some of the other aspects, you know, directing that sexual energy toward other forms of abundance for us. And so one of the things we did is we created a symbol, a sigil. It's basically a symbol that represents a specific concept. In this case, you know, we want to find jobs in Portland. And then what we did is we used sex magic to charge that symbol up, taking that sexual energy, that joy, that pleasure, et cetera, but investing it into that symbol. And then when we had gotten that symbol charged up with all that energy, what we did then is we basically destroyed that symbol and released that energy into the universe. And, you know, it did help us out. I ended up getting a job right before we moved. We were planning on moving regardless, and I got a job right before we moved at just the right time. And then Lupa got a job a couple weeks later.
So
and, yeah, everything just kind of fell into place. Not only that, but we were also able to get a home above where our friends lived, which was really interesting because the place that we had wanted to move to, we wanted to move down there. We wanted to live in the same neighborhood as our friends that we knew, and they called us up like in April. We were going to move down there at the end of May. And they said, guess what? This place is opening up on the 15th of May. And, right above us. And, you know, it was very fortuitous. We'd done the sexual magic act in April. You know, we're getting ready to move it at the end of May. But we wanted everything to kind of fall into place at just the right time. And,
yeah.
You know, we got that information and, you know, we were able to get into this place above our friends and get the jobs, and you know, everything. The move went very smoothly.
So, I mean,
so that would be an
well, go ahead. Sorry, Taylor.
So that would be an example of sex magic being applied. And you know, we'd also done a kink scene for that. You know, I topped her and basically kind of worked her toward a particular point where I had her, you know, really focused on that symbol. And channeling that energy that was going to charge that sigil up, so that then when we released it, we could go about manifesting what we wanted.
And
this is similar to, I mean, ritual magic in other ways, too. I mean, this is through sex, though. What I'm hearing is the charging. I've heard that term a lot.
Yeah, but with ritual magic, yeah. I believe you're encompassing, or you're calling out to, you know, forces of nature, the winds, you know, the heavens and the earth, and or the skies and the earth, and the earth herself, and things like that. So you're utilizing powers that are outside of yourself with sex magic. At least it sounds like an element of it is the actual energies between the two people, and you're channeling it into a symbol, which is incredible. I mean, it sounds very powerful. Does kink magic then, the you know, beyond sex magic, does that make it even more powerful, or does that change the nature of the forces that you're energizing the symbol with?
Well, I personally feel it makes it more powerful. It's adding another dynamic, that dynamic of a power play of control, for instance. You know, I'm controlling this person and getting this person put into a state of mind where that person's going to be able to focus on this particular goal and isn't going to be thinking about anything else at all. And then afterwards, you know, finishing it up with, you know, sex after I've already topped this person for a while. So, you know, I think it adds a level of focus to it, so it certainly seems to help. You know, but that's my opinion. Other people might disagree, but in general, yeah, you know, that's what we found really works well for us. I think it all depends on what it is that a person goes for when it comes to sex. You know, because part of what makes kink magic work for us, for instance, is that's something that we happen to like. Now, if it was, you know, somebody else who, you know, that wasn't quite their thing, it's obviously not going to really work that well for them, because it's not what turns that person on, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I imagine this would be different for, I mean, lots of people as far as couples are concerned. Not everybody's going to have the same tastes concerning what, you know, what they're going to do, if they're going to try to apply sex magic to something and try to, like you guys had, try to get a result from that, too. It sounds like there's many different things that you can do. I don't want to go into too much detail. Just use your imagination, people. That's all you need to do.
Absolutely fascinating, and yeah. I'm interested in learning more. I imagine we will end up getting a copy of
I think Bonnie will. Kink Magic. She's like sitting here just drooling on her keyboard right
Kink
now.
Kink Magic, Sex Magic Beyond Vanilla, from, you know, the website.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I also want to see how this, because would this be your latest book, Taylor?
The King Magic was not my latest book. It was our latest co-written book, but my latest book was actually Multimedia Magic, and for that matter, the Manifesting Prosperity anthology, which just came out.
Can we talk about Multimedia Magic? Because that really jumped out of the page when I read that initially, Taylor. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. I mean, I know what multimedia is. I know what magic is. But I've never thought in my life I'd hear these two things mentioned in the same phrase, though. You know, where did these come from? I mean, honestly, I never thought I'd hear those two things mentioned together. Where did those two come from? I mean, how did you decide to put together a body of work on this?
Well, some of my academic background is actually in communications and literacy.
Okay.
And semiotic study of symbols. So one of the things that comes up with a lot of the studies is, of course, the study of media. And it's always fascinated me how people use different forms of media to do a variety of different things. For instance, using a search engine to find a particular term or find out more about someone or something. And so, you know, I always thought it would be fascinating to apply magic to it. And, you know, my book Pop Culture Magic would probably be the first example, actually, of multimedia magic in my case, because it focused on, you know, taking popular culture as different forms of popular culture as media and applying a magical context to those. But then multimedia magic is a continuation of some of that work, and, you know, some of it utilizes, you know, what some people would consider contemporary pop culture images or even older pop culture images, but it also kind of looks at basically playing to each person's strengths when it comes to what kind of media it is that they like. For instance, I love playing video games, and that's a form of media for me, just in terms of playing online games, for instance, but also even just playing console games and being able to play with friends, but also just as a way of communicating information and problem-solving skills and things like that.
Okay.
Then you have other people who, you know, for instance, another example would be taking magazines and newspapers, clippings, and creating a collage out of them. That's another form of media right there that you can apply magic to.
By taking just a bunch of, I'm trying to, when you say apply magic to this particular media,
let me give you a good example.
Okay.
Let me give you a good example. And this is actually involves the story of how I met Lupa. So, it's about a month before I met her online. I met her online through LiveJournal. I put together this collage, and it was a collage I was putting together just to sort of kind of predict some stuff that was going to happen for me in that year. It was, I think, the beginning of 2005. And this collage, I had a picture of a goddess from a calendar that had a bunch of different goddesses in it, and then I had some newspaper clippings, and I had a picture of a woman wearing a headdress with a wolfskin headdress.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't have a caption with this. There was no caption for this woman. There was no, you know, it was a non-profit magazine. They'd taken the picture. They didn't need to get permission. So they didn't have an identity for this person. I just thought, wow, this person looks really cool. The kind of person I'd really want to meet and, you know, get involved with.
Yeah.
And I had some different sayings. I had Share Her Life, Reflections, Mystery School, Applications Accepted, What's Love Got to Do with It, As the Spirit Moves, and a whole bunch of different things like that. And some of these things, I cut them out at random. I wasn't like, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to just pick this, and that. I just sort of went in and grabbed a pair of scissors, started clipping things that seemed to appeal to me on an intuitive level.
Yeah.
So I put all these together, glued them on a piece of paper, really nice. A month later, I meet Lupa online. I'd written an article for a magazine, and she happened to review the magazine, said all the articles but one was, all the articles but one were really good, but that one wasn't so good. And I asked her, was the article that wasn't good mine? No, it was good, so I was happy about that.
Uh-huh.
We became online friends. We started talking to each other. And I kind of had an idea that she might be the person for this as I got to know her a bit better as time went on, but I still wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So 6 months later, I go to a festival, and she happens to be there as well, and we get together, and I look across the way, and I see this person, and her face is the same as the face of the picture of the woman in the headdress with the wolf skin.
Uh-huh.
And I say, Lupa, and she says, Taylor. And so we meet, and I gave her this collage the very next day. But it was one of those cases where it was really amazing. I basically, for all intents and purposes, used this collage to call this person into my life. And
that's interesting. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because I've went through some similar things myself. I've never done anything with a collage like that, but I've been in situations where I've talked about somebody or something like that, right? Where I got into a conversation about somebody, and I think a lot of people have experienced this too, where you have a conversation about someone you haven't talked to in a while or whatnot, and then lo and behold, the next day you bump into them, you know, just out of nowhere. Is that an example of magic, or is it just like just a coincidence, or is it you actually, you know, kind of casting out to the universe going, I want to find this person, bring them to me?
Well, I think in my case, it was definitely a case of I want to find somebody like this. You know, when I looked at it in retrospect, a lot of the things that I had written there described the kind of person that I would want to share my life with. And, you know, and so for me, it was definitely an act of magic. I mean, I didn't even know who she was when I first put that collage together. I think to some degree, there's something to be said for the idea, though, that when you're talking about someone you haven't seen for a while, you kind of put that intention out there that maybe you want to see that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all of a sudden that person shows up again in your life. You know, there's something to really be said for the power of intention. And, you know, whether we want to label that magic or we want to label it something else, it kind of plays on the notion that, you know, everybody is connected. And, you know, when you put that intention out there that you want to meet somebody, it usually ends up happening. I know that when I've put out that intention before to meet different people in my life, you know, like some authors that I've read or something like that, I'm like, I want to meet that person someday. I've usually ended up meeting that person.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that's just my experience with that was just, you know,
talking about people and, like I said, putting that intention out there. And you know what? The same thing's happened with me. I've wanted to meet a lot of, like, you know, famous people, and I've had the pleasure to do that, too, just because of that yearning. So maybe it is kind of calling out to the universe. Taylor, why don't we take a quick break here? When we come back, I want to bring Lupe on to talk about her work also. Would that be cool?
Oh, that would be great. Right. I will hand her over.
All right, hang tight for one second. We're just going to take a quick break here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be back here in a couple minutes. We'll be talking with Lupe about some of her work. We'll be right back.
Ghostly Talk!
There's no flowing gown. There's no crystal ball. There's just me, Christy, psychic medium. I'm a spirit medium since the tender age of 3, and I'm dedicated and passionate about my work. I perform all my readings with honesty, integrity, and the other side has a sense of humor, so I use that too. Let me help clear the cobwebs of confusion in your life. At some point in everyone's life, direction is needed, and I'm here as a friend and as a counselor to help give you insight. I do instant message readings, email readings, phone readings, and if you're in the Michigan area, I do in-person readings. Visit my website at www.tangledwishes.com.
Are you ready? April 19th at the Crum Theater in Columbus, Indiana. Eerie Radio, Indiana Spy, and Crossroads Paranormal present the Indiana Phenomicon 2008 with special guests Linda Zimmerman and Wanda Lou Willis. Visit www.phenomicon.net for more information and to purchase tickets. Indiana Phenomicon 2008. Be there if you dare.
Thank you. Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
So you're seeking the truth? You have questions or answers? Join a community of like-minded people on the Nipers forums. Simply go to the Nipers website, www.nnyprs.com. Click on the Nipers Discussion Forum. Here you can browse our many topics covering all aspects of the paranormal field. Ask your questions, post your comments, get answers, seek truth. The Nipers Discussion Forums, your forums.
You are invoking the spirits to help you, but the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful, you shall be a toy in their hands.
So in the last half hour, we got to talk, because you know this hour we're talking to Taylor Elwood and Lupa.
Yep.
And we talked with Taylor Elwood about...
Kink magic and multimedia magic.
And now we get to talk to Lupa.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like maybe Lupa's in a wind tunnel.
Lupa, are you in the wind right now?
No, I am actually I'm on a cell phone, which never helps.
And that'll pick up anything.
We've got the windows open because it's a nice day here in Portland, and the cats are enjoying it. So,
but we're talking with Lupa, and I do want to throw out the websites again real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The websites are www.thegreenwolf.com. thegreenwolf.com. That's the Green Wolf, all run together, no spaces.
Yeah.
And then www.kinkmagic.com. Kink Magic, all run together, no spaces.
Yeah.
And those are the websites. Lupa, you've been doing a lot of stuff for quite a while. I mean, it's been quite a while. And you started with a book the title was what? Fang and Fur, Blood and Bone? It's a primal guide to animal magic and a field guide to the other kin.
Yeah.
Now, this is, describe, because you...
Yeah, we talked about this on the break.
What's other kin? And we're like, you want to tell us.
Yeah.
So we're wondering, explain to everybody what that book's about and how you came about to write it.
All right. Well, first I'll give you a little bit of a background on other kin, since I'm guessing that a pretty decent chunk of your audience probably isn't going to be familiar with the concept.
But, it's new. It's something
new.
We can
change that now.
That's what we're doing here. We're learning.
Yeah.
Well, learning is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Otherkin is a community of people, not a set, you know, single geographic region, but it's a group of people who believe that in some generally non-physical manner that they are other than human.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before you go running and screaming in the other direction saying, oh my God, the crazy people are on Ghostly Talk, let me kind of explain things a little bit. For the most part, you don't get people who believe that they are literally dragons or elves or various kinds of animals. They don't believe that literally, physically, they have non-human DNA.
Okay.
The most common explanation you're going to get is through reincarnation. You'll
right.
have somebody say, well, I was a dragon in a past life,
mm-hmm.
and that affects who I am today. Or you'll get somebody who says, well, my soul is the soul of a dragon, and I got bumped into the wrong body in this life. So that's your most common explanation.
Well, can I ask a quick question? Can I ask one quick thing about this, Lupin? This is just a general question. I'm wondering how these people can they get these conclusions, though. I mean, what do they have to verify that there was, like you just said, there was a mistake? Maybe they were put in the wrong body or something.
Well, again, it's a very individualized situation, so
yeah.
There's no single one way that people come to this realization.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you a good example with me. I make a good guinea pig. When I was about 2 or 3 years old, I had an experience. I'm also a totemist. I work with animal totems. And I had an experience with my primary totem, wolf. That was actually the first time that wolf came and, you know, basically communicated with me, let me know that he actually existed. And I had this experience, and ever after that point, I became absolutely obsessed with wolves.
Okay.
And it wasn't just a matter of, oh, this is my favorite animal. It was, no, I am a wolf. I am in the wrong body. I shouldn't be here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, obviously, you know, being that young, you could pretty easily pass it off as imagination.
Okay.
Very interesting imagination, but imagination nonetheless. And what I found was as I got older, and we're talking into my teens here, that feeling didn't go away. You know, I kind of got past the favorite animal thing, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being interested in biology, I went and read about other animals and found other animals that I thought were really cool. But in the back of my head, there was always that idea that on some level, there was part of me that was more wolf than human.
Okay.
So when I was in my late teens, I discovered the concept of otherkin, and specifically the concept of spiritual therianthropy, which describes people specifically who identify as non-human earthly animals rather than, you know, griffins and things of that nature.
Yeah. Okay.
And it basically, the concept of otherkin gave me a convenient framework on which to explore the part of myself that had persisted for years in saying, wolf, 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 wolf.
All right.
And so it's one of those things that this is the model that best fits that particular belief. Now, I don't really see myself as a product of reincarnation. I see it as most likely a combination of psychological, spiritual, and metaphorical influences. Psychologically, it's very possible that I'm basically personifying the more instinctual primal part of my brain and my psyche as a wolf, since we don't really have much conscious access to those parts of ourselves in modern civilization. Spiritually, there's definitely a connection to totemism, although I don't think that me being, you know, me feeling that I am wolf is solely because my primary totem is wolf, because I know people who are therians of various types whose primary totems are a completely different species, or they don't even believe in totems at all. They're okay. Completely atheistic. And as for the metaphorical part, I do consider the possibility that this is all just a story, a personal mythology that I'm telling about myself as a way to explain myself. You know, if I'm very big into Jung and Joseph Campbell, and so the idea of a personal mythology as a part of my understanding of myself is very appealing to me. Well, so that's
Lupa. But you believe this very strongly. I mean, Lupa is probably not the name on your birth certificate, is it? Or did your parents have some prophetic insight?
No. This is it's basically the name that got applied to me later on.
So my
legal name has nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay. So what happens is you go by a name that more identifies you and wolf species, which means it really, really does mean something to you. This is how you live your life. This is your you know this to be true, and anybody who meets you, you know, can see this and see the depth of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And I've had people who are good at reading energy pick up on it before they even recognize it. It's it's something, you know, whether this is something that is inherent or whether it's something that came about solely out of my own self-conditioning with years and years and years of focusing on wolves, regardless of where it came about, it provides a very constructive and fulfilling part of my life. And it's something that I've managed to weave into the structure of my life to a very positive effect. Now, I will say that there are people in the other kin community who use their identities basically for escapism. You know, they will get so wrapped up in, for instance, trying to remember their past lives as dragons or fairies or whatever it is that they identify as, that they'll start to lose touch with this reality. It's
those are those creepy
minority of the community.
Those are those creepy D&D people, aren't they, Lupa?
Yeah.
Those are those people
no
I
comment.
See. There we go.
It's people that like Star Wars and Star Trek.
No,
I like
it's
Star
not
Wars
them.
And Star Trek.
Exactly.
It's someone else. Yeah.
Well, no. Go ahead, Lupa. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, it's the same thing that you get with any subculture.
Yeah.
You're going to get the people who are kind of flaky and they get really ungrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they tend to be really, really vocal, and they're also really, really visible. So occasionally, when a media source will stumble upon one or another subculture, a lot of the times the people who are most who are least afraid of talking to the media are the ones who are utter.
They don't represent the whole culture very well themselves. It's
not
like.
Very well. Of course,
yeah.
Of course, with other candidates, it's kind of hard to have a single representative because it's such a diverse community.
Uh-huh.
But as you were saying,
how does other kin and its realizing your kinship or what have you, or previous kinship to an animal or, you know, real or mythological.
Other being.
Yeah, other being. How does that tie in with animal magic? Because both those are in the subtitle of the book. So
yeah.
I'm wondering, can you use this knowledge, this knowing, this kinship, this, you know, the what you've discovered about yourself? It makes it sound like you can use this for magical properties.
Well, first off, I think there might be a little bit of confusion. Fangin' for Blood and Bone and A Field Guide to Other Kin are actually two different books.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
The quote marks on our notes.
Somebody broke the quote marks.
The quote marks on our notes are in the wrong areas.
That's
so
quite all right.
I apologize.
I do have an answer for you.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear it.
Please.
No, real quick, just on the books while we're on the topic, the Field Guide to Other Kin was actually the first book on the topic of other kin. There were a lot of people who said, hey, I'm going to write a book on other kin, and then nothing ever came of it for one reason or another.
Okay.
It's a pretty monumental task. But with the animal magic, with Fang and Fur, and then DIY Totemism, which is the sequel in the works, that is something that I have been working with for over a decade, pretty much since I got involved with magic and neo-paganism and all the other fun esoteric things that I'm involved in.
Yeah.
And I can only speak for myself, because with other kin in general, you really can't come up with very many generalizations, and that includes with spirituality and magic. But I will say for my own part that being a person who identifies as a non-human animal as well as the human animal, it does help quite a bit when I'm working with totemism to be able to change out of the human mindset and take on something different. For example, when I work with totems, I'll sometimes do invocation, which is basically, for our purposes, we could describe it as a very low-level form of possession, where the person who is doing the invocation still has mainly has control of what's going on. It's not possession as in voodoo, where the loa takes complete control of the person and the person blacks out.
Okay.
It's a more low-level form of that sort of thing, where the totem or whatever other being that you're invoking basically overlays their consciousness onto that of the person who's doing the invoking.
Okay.
And being a Wolfarian, there have been plenty of times in my life where the part of me that is more wolf than human has come to the forefront in what's basically known as a shift. We don't call it shape-shifting because there's no actual physical changes. The physical shape-shift is absolutely impossible.
Okay.
But you can very easily have a mental or energetic shift. And being that that's something that was rather inherent, I got used to the concept of allowing that part of me which is human to step aside. The main difference, of course, between a shift and a totemic invocation is with the shift, it's just another part of myself. The balance is kind of, I see myself as a continuum of wolf and human, and when I shift, basically the balance shifts more towards the wolf end than the human end. Whereas with a totemic invocation, I'm letting an external being, in this case a totem, share my head, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I was just, when you mentioned that you actually, the animal side takes, sometimes will take over more over the human side. I've seen some videos and stuff like that where people have actually, they thought they were in that mindset. And it's kind of disturbing to see that, like to see a human act out like that. And I mean, is this what you go through sometimes?
Yeah, when it gets really intense, with the intensity of shifting, over the years, as I have integrated the part of myself that I see as wolf with the part of myself that I see as human, my shifting has gotten a lot less frequent and a lot less intense, because a lot of people, especially people who are new to the concept of being Therian or any other type of otherkin, a lot of them will start out with basically thinking of the part of themselves that isn't human in third person. They'll think of it as a separate, not quite a separate being, but rather than saying, for instance, myself as wolf, they'll say, well, my wolf or the wolf.
Okay.
And that's not really a healthy thing. It distances them from what's basically a part of themselves.
Yeah, I mean they're putting themselves out of the picture completely with that. It sounds like they're trying to do, like you just said, trying to separate themselves from that entity.
Mm-hmm. And so the more that I came to accept that this was a part of me, that I wasn't completely crazy, and that it was okay to have this, to be this.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to integrate it, and so I do still occasionally have rather uncontrolled shifts where usually what happens is when I don't let myself be wolf enough, I usually manage to keep a pretty good balance at all times, but occasionally, especially if I get really caught up with, for instance, work or other things that are more on the human end of concerns,
uh-huh.
If I don't get out into the go for walks in the park or hiking or whatever, occasionally the balance will reassert itself. But earlier on, when I was working with totemism, I really learned more control because I do a lot of totemic dancing,
mm-hmm.
which is part of how I do the invocation. So now most of my more intense shifts are either brought about by dance or meditation. And sometimes it's me as wolf, and sometimes it's an external totem that I work with rather than just it being myself. So I don't really do the classic therianthropy shifts, which is me shifting more to the animal end of things.
I have so many questions to ask, but we're like totally.
I know we're
o'clock.
Right at the top of the hour. Unfortunately,
this sounds like, because I mean, there's a lot of things we're gonna have to talk more later, Lupa, about this. I think we're gonna have to go on email or something, or have you come back on the show here really soon, because I do have some other questions I want to ask. But unfortunately,
cool.
we got to go to break here. I'm such a bug.
I have to say though, it's such a pleasure to get to talk to you, Lupa, and as well as Taylor Elwood.
Yeah.
About these fascinating subjects.
Yeah.
I mean, we started off.
Well,
wow. Strong. And
we both really, really enjoyed talking to you guys.
Well, good.
It's amazing. Can you hang on the
line,
though,
leave
for
us just
a moment? I do want to tell everybody. I do want to tell everybody listening that the websites are www.thegreenwolf.com, and that's sort of Taylor and Lupa's
all their work.
Combined artwork kind of site.
Well, they have all their books on there,
books
too.
And everything is on thegreenwolf.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got www.kinkmagic.com, and of course, they'll be linked up at our website at ghostlytalk.com.
Totally linked up there.
Lupa, tell Taylor thank you so much. And
I will do so.
And hang on for just one sec. We're going to go into break. We're going to bring on the incredible Heidi Hollis. We'll be talking about JesusIsNoJoke.com.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.